How many of you guys know the exact countdown of school days until summer? Oh, you're good. What? Some of you guys have 1 week? Who has 1 week? You only got 1 week? To your birthday. That's not what I asked, bro. Summertime, right? What do you guys do in the summer? How many of you guys, summer plans for you look like basically sleeping all day long, every single day? Like, that's all you look forward to. There's some sleepy heads in the room. All right, like, yeah, I knew. So the rest of you, you're like, you don't care about sleep or what? You're just like insomniacs, like you don't like sleep, like you're just cool with it. All right. Well, hey, you do you. When I was younger, when I was in school, oh man, all I want to do is like get that extra sleep in the summer. I loved it. I was like, yes, it means I get to sleep. And dude, when you start school again though, like on the flip side, it's so hard to wake up again and like get your body ready to wake up early for school. My mom would have to like come in and do like horrible, mean things to me to wake me up, because I just would not wake up when school time was back in session and stuff. It was hard to get up. So as we're thinking about summer, I challenge you guys, like, don't check out yet. School's not done. And even if school, when school is done, like, that doesn't mean you check out from, like, the things God's doing in your life, right? Don't get that attitude where you're like, oh, I just don't have to do anything anymore. Just be a bum and sit on my couch. But rather, I challenge you, ask God, like, what are some things you want to do with me this summer? I'm going to have some more free time. I'm going to have some more resources, other things. Like, what do you want me to do with my time this summer to maybe serve Jesus in a bigger way? Because now, like, you don't have school and classes, and maybe just a different way. So don't check out, but instead ask God, like, what do you want to do for me? We're starting a new thing and series. And so this week, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5. If you guys want to open up, if you have your Bibles. If not, it's going to be on the screens. But Ephesians 5, verses 8 to 20 is what we're looking at. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he's saying that basic thing. He's saying, hey, wake up, right? You're going to hear him say it. And as he says it, like, this whole passage is kind of dedicated to the fact that there are some believers in Ephesus that need to wake up spiritually, like we just talked about. Like, they're checking out. They're doing that thing that's like, you know, I'm just going to kind of cruise, and if God does a thing, cool. And some of them even, like, got into a place where they're like, actually, you know what? As we're cruising, it's kind of comfortable to just accept some sin and tolerate some things. And it's snowballing into this thing where God's like, who are you? I don't even recognize you anymore. Like, you're so asleep. It's like you're dead. I'm trying to recognize you as one of my children. And it just doesn't even seem like you're awake right now or alive in me. And so the challenge Paul's going to give us is to live alive in Jesus, because he's giving you life. So use it, right? And so let's read it together. It starts in verse 8. It says this. For you were once darkness. Just like take that in for just a second, because that's like a big statement. For you were once darkness. Not in the darkness. You were the darkness, right? But now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, he says. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that's illuminated becomes a light. That's why it said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live. Wise, but is wise, making the most of every opportunity, because days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here Paul's talking about light. You heard him. He keeps saying like light and darkness. And he's making this comparison. And we look in verse 8, right? He's talking about us being darkness. Like, there's a time before you know Jesus, when you're not in a relationship with God, that you aren't just in darkness, just living in a place that's dark. Like, you literally, God looks at you and sees darkness. We are broken. We are, in a way, sin, right? Like, we are the darkness, part of that fleshly world. He says, there's a time. So you once were darkness. He says, but now you are the light in the Lord. There's this amazing thing he does, like right at the beginning here. It's just like huge, huge like contrast. He starts off saying like the worst news we could ever hear, right? You're darkness. Like who wants to hear that? Like you are pure evil. That's what he's saying. There was a time when you were pure evil and you're like, ah, what do you say back to that? He says, but now you are light. There's this amazing good news that contrasts that horrible, horrible news. We don't have to stay darkness. God doesn't want you to stay darkness. God's not looking at you going, oh, you're just terrible. I give up on you. No chance. Like, just you're just darkness. He's like, that's just the reality of your sin and your brokenness, and you were born broken in your relationship with me. But he's like, I made a way. I sent my son Jesus so that when you trust in him and give him your faith in your heart, he makes you light. You don't have to stay darkness. God has this incredible plan right from the beginning to be able to bring you into being a child of the light. He says, live as children of light. That's what God's always designed for you to be. And when we messed up, he made a plan for us to go from being darkness and being light again, being his children, so that we can imitate Jesus and look like Jesus in the way we live and love and interact with people. It's this incredible news that he starts with, but it's powerful because it goes so dark, right? And then all of a sudden, so light, because God is doing something huge. So many people miss this, right? And so they look at Christianity or church and like, man, it's just some boring thing. They talk about some old like book that's been around for thousands of years. What is the excitement over this? Because you're missing those two sentences in your heart. Like when you really grasp how dark it was in your life and who you were. And then you can literally be a child of light. Like God is doing this unbelievably powerful thing in your life. And so many people miss it. And so they're like, church is boring. The Bible's boring. Christianity is for old people. Because you missed out at this unbelievable gift that God is doing and wants to do in your life. This powerful transformation he wants to do in your heart. He wants to change you completely from darkness to light. And then he says something about it because he's talking to a bunch of people, right, that are believers. He calls them, like, he's like, now you're light. So verse 9, he says, for the fruit of the light consists. This is what the fruit is, right? In all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Well, first of all, what's fruit? Who's it for? You got this big old fruit tree, and it's growing these awesome oranges. They're bright orange and super sweet and delicious and amazing. And, like, the tree is like, yum, I'm hungry, so I'm going to grab one of my own oranges and eat it so I can be strengthened, right? Like, the tree doesn't eat its own fruit. That's crazy. The tree makes that fruit so that people like us who love oranges walk by, grab that thing, and we eat it. We benefit from it, not the tree. And so when he's talking about fruit and what God does through us as we are children of light, our fruit, you know, it's not for you. When God changes you and does these awesome things through you, it's not for you. You're actually benefiting the people around you. So when you are those three things, he says, goodness, righteousness, and truth, when that's the fruit growing out of your life, it's not for your benefit. It's for the people living around you, your family, your friends, people in your community. Like, those are the people that are seeing this fruit of goodness and being, like, interacting with it. And because you're good, you're kind and loving, and because you're, like, able to like show goodness to other people, their life is affected by it, by what Jesus is doing through you. Same thing with righteousness. Same thing with truth. But so many of us are like looking at that, we're like, ah, it's not that big of a deal if I'm growing fruit or not. Jesus still loves me. I'm going to go to heaven. And it might not seem like a huge deal to you because you're not the one eating the fruit. And a lot of Christian kids do that because they're surrounded by people that are growing fruit. You got leaders around you, adult leaders that are growing the fruit of Jesus, and like you're able to grab that fruit and benefit from being around those awesome leaders and Christian friends that are constantly ministering to you and loving on you, and you're benefiting from those relationships. So you feel great. But you're standing there just like consuming the fruit, but you're just a barren tree. You're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal, like if there's fruit in my life, if I'm actually committed and following Jesus. But the people around you, if you ask, they're probably starving because they're waiting for fruit. Like, man, I'm giving fruit all the time, but like, where's your fruit, bro? Like, where's it coming back? Like, I'm never getting fed back in this relationship because Jesus, like, in you, it's just not coming out. You're not living in a way where this fruit of the light of Christ is actually like benefiting my life, where I can grab that goodness and like consume it, and it does something for my life. Sometimes we can be super selfish with this, and we're just, man, I go to a great church and have great friends and great leaders, so I feel awesome, but we're not actually growing fruit ourselves that the people around us can benefit, so that you can make a difference in other people's lives. Then he says in verse 10, he says, and find out what pleases the Lord. Listen, like, as you walk with Jesus and become more like Jesus, you get to find out what pleases the Lord. Not just like, oh, I know what it says in Scripture. I get the knowledge. You get the list. You know, I figured it out in my head. It's this intimate way where you know what pleases the Lord. That's what he's talking about here. Why? Because you've walked with him. You're like doing life with Jesus. You're watching Jesus do miracles in your life. You're watching Jesus change people's hearts. You're experiencing Jesus change you. So as you're doing that, right, and you're walking and doing life with Jesus, you start to know him in this intimate way. And you actually know what pleases him because you know him. You've walked with him. You've seen him work, seen him move. You know his words deeply in your heart. The Holy Spirit's opening your eyes to things in a deep way because you're with him, spending time with the Lord. So many kids are like, man, the Bible answer that's ever asked in church is always like Jesus or the Bible, right? Like there's a answer. But how often are we spending time with Jesus and reading his Bible? It's always the answer. We know that, right? Like almost every time there's a question asked the church, those are the two answers. But so many of us are not spending time with him or reading the word. How do you expect to know him? Have a relationship with him? Get close to him? How do you expect this Christianity thing to go from being from like this boring thing to actually like this living, unbelievable, mind-blowing thing in your life? It happens when you spend time with Jesus and read his word. That's the difference. And if you're satisfied with a boring church experience, cool. Keep doing what you're doing if that's you. But if that's you and you want something bigger, spend time with Jesus and get in his word so he can transform it into this living relationship where he makes you a child of light. Intimately know what pleases the Lord. Transforms you completely. Look at what he says in verse 10. Sorry, 11. It says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. If we said that fruit, right, is to benefit other people, and he talked about light being that fruit, when he talks about darkness, you might ask, well, then what is darkness? Like, what's the difference? It's probably the things that don't benefit others. Remember, that's what fruit's for. And he says that darkness is fruitless. It doesn't benefit the people around you. You know what that is? Selfishness. Pride. Self-centeredness. All these things where my eyes go from Jesus and other people, love God and love others is what the Bible says, right? And I turn my eyes from the two greatest commandments back to myself, like the Garden of Eden, go, how can I be like God? How can I be great? How can I? And now I'm grabbing the same fruit as Eve, right? And I'm trying to be something for myself. And that selfishness, man, it just corrupts everything. That selfishness is why we end up in these deep, dark pits of sin in our life. I care more about like getting fit and going to the gym, and I care more about playing this sport really well, and I care more about my grades and getting into this college and my future and making a lot of money and grinding at my job and doing these things. And there's nothing wrong inherently in those things, but when they become the thing, that's the fruit, and you're missing the real fruit, right? These are things that are fruitless deeds because they're just about you. God wants to flip that out and say, I want to use everything in your life, including those things, to reach a world that's lost and dying and needs the gospel. I want to use your job and use your sport and use your grades and use your friendships. I want to make you like Jesus in all of those ways so that now, instead of it being the selfishness that's clogging up your life with sin, that leads you to things like lust and pornography and gossip and pride and fighting and all of these terrible things that like you're like, how did I end up in that? It ended up because you first took your eyes off Jesus and put it on yourself. That's how it always starts. That fruit, it goes from the light to darkness and it becomes fruitless deeds of darkness. He says, so have nothing to do with them. He says, but instead, right? Check this out. But rather expose them. So like when you find those things in your life, you know what you should do? You're like, man, I am stuck in this sin. It's kicking my butt. God's like, grab it and drag it into the light. Don't leave it in the dark corner in the places you don't want people. Those sins that are probably in your mind right now, you feel a little guilty about. You're like, man, I hope nobody ever finds out about this thing. God says, grab that thing from the dark shadow of that corner of your heart where you're hiding it. Pull it out into the light. That doesn't necessarily mean get on a stage and just start like telling everybody all your stuff. But it might mean having a friend that you can confide in, that you can confess those things with, and ask for prayer for, and they can do battle with you in life. Instead of just hiding it, you admit it to God, to yourself, maybe to a trusted person or leader in your life, where you're like, pray with me. I'm stuck in this thing. But expose it to the light. Don't just leave it hidden, because you know what it'll do? It'll rot in that corner of your life, and it will grow. That sin, that little thing that doesn't seem like a big deal that you're hiding, all of a sudden one day you'll go back and check on it, and it's going to be this massive beast that's taking over your life. This addiction that won't let go, that you can't seem to break. This thing that's breaking your family and your life. So God says, grab it and bring it into the light and repent of it. Don't even mention, he says. It's shameful even in verse 12 to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Man, God's view of sin is pretty drastic. It's a lot of us are like, man, sin is like, okay, I did a thing. Everybody messes up. And we tend to like excuse away sin. Like it's not a big deal because everyone does it. It's not how God looks at it. You got to think about how God looks at it. He looks at it so, so deeply that he would literally take his son, nail him to a cross, and let him hang and die over it. That's how seriously God takes sin. For us to just look at it and be like, oh, no big deal. He's like, grab that thing and pull it into the light and repent. Don't even mention. It's shameful to even mention the things the disobedient do in secret. He wants us to expose that sin. And then in verse 14, you hear it, right? This is why it's said. And he quotes this passage. He says, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. There's so many believers that are asleep. We're doing the church thing. Christian family, I'm good, right? Maybe some of you go to a Christian school. I go to church every Sunday. I might even read my Bible on a regular basis, right? He's not saying those things are bad, but he's also not saying they save you. He's saying that you can do those things and still be completely asleep. That they could just be things. You're like, those are some of the best things we should do. You're right. But it's even possible to do some of the best things we could do and still be asleep. Paul really wants us to see the difference in this passage. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. He's like, you're not just sleeping. You're literally dead. You're living in death when Jesus has come along and given you life. To live for him, to like vibrantly go out into your community, in your neighborhood, in your family, and actually like have the joy of Jesus in your heart because you've spent time with him and you know why you love him. You know why he excites you. Like when someone says Jesus, you're like, oh man, I love that guy. Like there's this like actual relationship that is so obvious because you really do have a relationship with Jesus. You're not just that Christian that goes to church and says it. How many of us do you say Jesus and you're just like, oh, I hear that church a lot. Like, do you even know the guy? Is there a difference in your life because you've met him, because you spend time with him, because he's your best friend? Wake up. Like, you are dead right now. He says, rise from the dead. Get to know Christ. He says, and Christ will shine on you. People are going to see Jesus in you when you actually know him for real. He's going to wake up this deadness, this coldness, this apathy inside your heart and actually make you alive. And it's because you know Jesus Christ. Not because you went to church or you read your Bible or you have a Christian family, even though they're good things. It's because you intimately know the Son of God who gave his life for you. That's what wakes you up. That's what makes you come to life. Man, some people sit, I would say this is one of the top questions that I get asked talking to people, especially students, about the faith. It's like, man, I want to know Jesus. I want to be excited about Jesus. Like, I want to read my Bible. But I just don't. I don't know how to get that, this wake-up call in my life. How can God come in my life and set the alarm and be like, it's time, you know, like, wake up now. It's all about Jesus. There's no cookie-cutter crazy answer I'm going to give you tonight. It's the answer we keep telling you over and over and over again. It's the matter of the fact that you actually take it seriously. And you'll say, Jesus, tonight, I want to know you that way. I'm tired of knowing you in this fake way, this other churchy way. I want to know you personally tonight. I want you to grab my hand and become my best friend and walk me through life. I want to wake up every morning and say, Jesus, what do you have for me today? What are we doing today? How can I watch you work today? What will you do in my heart, in my life? Jesus, I want a relationship with you, not just a religion. Grow this thing in me because I can't do it by myself. Wake me up. When it happens, it's this crazy wake up in someone's life. Like, students will come in and ask that question, and then they'll actually like really want to be serious with Jesus, and it is this night and day difference in their heart, in their life, in the way they're living and acting. It's wild. In Guatemala, you guys know I go there all the time. So in Guatemala, when I lived there, it was my birthday for the first time happening like in that country, and I was like staying with this one family. So the night before my birthday, everybody just goes to bed. Everything's normal. I'm thinking, no, people probably won't even remember that tomorrow's my birthday. I'm a little bummed, you know, like, man, I'm like in another country. It's going to be boring. So the next morning, like, I go to sleep, 3 a.m., pitch black. Kid you not. Lights pop on at 3 a.m. in my room. A full-on mariachi band. I'm not kidding. Is at the foot of my bed. Like, these old dudes, like, they're short. Well, there's a tall guy and some short guys. And they're just like, there's a guy doing this. Like, they're singing. It is a straight-on mariachi band, like, at the foot of my bed. But that's not what woke me up. What woke me up was that someone right outside, there was a window right at, like, the head of my bed, like, right by my head. And right outside that window, they were blowing up all these M80s. You guys know what an M80 firework is and how loud it is. They had a whole reel that was about this big, a roll of them, that they lit. And they're just going, just, like, exploding. It sounds like a war. I'm like, Guatemalan civil war is coming. Like, they're going to kill me. I'm over here. Like, I don't know what is going on. I look at the foot of my bed. There's this little short guys. I'm just like, this is the craziest thing. And then all these people start coming in the room. I'm in bed, bro. Like, I'm in bed sleeping. Like, this is private time, right? This is my room. And all these people from town, the whole village, start to like pack in my room, this tiny room, and like fill the house. And they start like their breakout cake. And they're like eating cake. I'm still under my covers, just like, what is going on? And there's like the whole village is just in the house. It is the craziest, most wild tradition. Apparently, that's what they do for birthdays. But it's not a tradition I like very much. I thought I was going to die that morning, right? But it was crazy. It woke me up. There's no sleeping through that, right? And honestly, like that might seem like an exaggeration, but when someone's life to Jesus in this way, when they really wake up to Jesus, that's the picture I get in my head. I picture that Guatemalan scene of like, there's no way to sleep through that. When you really meet Jesus in a way that's intimate, there is no way to keep sleeping through that. Like, you see Jesus face to face, it wakes you up. It changes you. And too many of us are like, man, I met Jesus, but I'm exactly the same. No big deal, right? Like, no, that is a big deal. When you meet Jesus face to face, it wakes you up from death to life, from darkness to light. I challenge you to meet Jesus. Don't be satisfied with this thing that we take from the world. And we're like, man, I'm a Christian, kind of, maybe, sort of. Let him change your entire life and wake you up. Verse 15, he says, be very careful then. So, like, if that's true, if God has woken you up, be very careful then how you live, he says. not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So listen, he's like, okay, so if you've been woken up and you're awake right now, he's like, let me challenge you to live like Jesus. Don't be like, I'll follow you, Jesus, but like, except this time or that time or when I have this opportunity. No, no, no. He's like, take your whole life and give it to him and live wisely, making the choices Jesus would make. And he says, you know why? Because you need to make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. You have no idea when your last day is going to be. So many of us are like, man, I'm just like, I'm in middle school, right? Like, I got all the time in the world. I'm just starting life. God's like, how do you know you have tomorrow? How do you know he's going to give you more than 12 or 13 years? How do you know at 14, that's it? That's the end of the plan for this world for you. I'm not trying to be morbid or scary tonight, but that's just reality, right? Like, none of us are promised tomorrow. And he says that the days are evil. Like, listen, like, you don't know what you have, but you do have right now. And if Jesus has woken you up, he's brought you to life, then live. That's what he's trying to say. Stop acting when you're alive. He says, therefore, do not be foolish. Don't waste this time, right? Live as children of the light. He says, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now listen to this part as he closes. These last couple verses, he describes something really powerful. He says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to drunkenness, right? Being a drunk, debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Person, real quick, right? You probably have seen movies or maybe just walking around in our community, you've seen drunk people, right? Like walking down the sidewalk and they have a very distinct walk where they can't even walk straight. You know, like drunkenness does things to your body. You're taking poison. You're putting it into your body. It's affecting your brain, right? You could check this with the ER doctor, nurse back there in the back. Just, you don't trust me with that. I think this is what happens, right? It's literally poison. And so it basically makes you like go crazy. Your brain can't function right. So you can't walk straight. You can't talk straight. You act differently than you would. Your inhibitions fall. And so he's like, hey, listen, instead of living like that in a way that's very obvious when you're drunk or not drunk, be filled with the Holy Spirit. What do you think that means? The Holy Spirit should make a difference. The same way getting drunk makes a difference in your life. Some dude's drunk. We're going to notice it by the way he acts. If you're filled with the Spirit, we should notice it by the way you act. The Holy Spirit fills you. The Holy Spirit fills your heart, changes your actions and your behavior and your mind and your heart. He's like, so how come you're still saying you're awake when you're asleep if not? Wake up. Let it literally change you. And then he describes what it looks like. Are you ready? He says, when you're filled with the Spirit, you're speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Your life becomes worship. You start to worship. You start to talk about Jesus. It's like, try to stop me from talking about Jesus because he's the most incredible person I know. I'm going to keep talking about him. I'm going to worship him with my words, with my actions, even in song, right? Worship isn't always just this, music. It's your entire life is worship to Jesus. That starts to become your life. People notice that. And then he says in verse 20, he says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship and thanksgiving. We become incredibly grateful when all of a sudden we realize who Jesus really is in our lives. You know why? Because we realize we were headed to an eternity in hell. Jesus came down and said, nope. I'm giving you a choice, sacrificing my life so that if you choose me, you can go to heaven instead. We look at Jesus and we're like, well, I'm not worthy of this. I didn't do anything to deserve this. Why did you do this for me? You know what that causes in my heart? Thankfulness. I become grateful that he would ever love me the way he does and do what he did for me. And it causes me to worship. So the things that happen inside of me, if I'm really full of the Spirit, thankfulness, and worship. I want to challenge you guys. You might be thinking about some things like, how could I make some practical changes? I'm awake. Like, I want to follow Jesus. I want to do these things and pursue him. Think about those of you guys who are in eighth grade, going to ninth grade. Think about a mission trip. You guys could go to Guatemala next year. Sign up. Step out of your comfort zone. It might not Guatemala, maybe some other thing that's happening in our community or another trip. But find some people that are like, hey, we're all about serving Jesus. Jump in with them and be like, I want to do that with you. There's places to serve here in our church. Some of you guys in ninth grade, you could be a high school student leader right here at Firehouse. Those of you guys going in eighth grade next year, you could be a middle school student leader. Jump into leadership. Find out how you can serve here. House of Hope, every Monday morning. You could go serve down there. There's so many different opportunities for you guys to be like, Jesus, here I go. And listen, I'm not saying that just to like be on fire for Jesus is all about like finding some service or some project. But it's not a bad place to start either. Start there and say, God, do something through me while I do this. Lead me to the next step. Show me what it is you want to do in my heart. But I can guarantee something. If you just sleep it away, you're never going to find it. He wants you to wake up. He wants to bring you to life. Change you from darkness to light. Will you bow your heads with me? God, thank you tonight that you're speaking to us in a way that is so clear. Some of us tonight might need to be woken up. And I do pray, God, that if that's some of us tonight, that you would do it. Holy Spirit, grab our hearts. Wake us up. Bring us back to life. Do something in our hearts that causes us to be full of the Holy Spirit, to live and look and sound different. For those who are walking with you and are already in that, Lord Jesus, I pray you keep that going. Keep that fire alive in them. Help them to influence other people around them, that fruit would keep falling at the feet of their friends, that their friends would jump on board too. God, we want to be a family that is awake and alive in Jesus. Jesus, I'm asking you that you do that right here. Start in our hearts. Those of us who are in this room tonight together, would you start in us tonight? Father, thank you so much for your gift of Jesus.